Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Hallelujah. We have been speaking about the features of the kingdom of God from the blessing of Abraham. And we have said that Abraham did not live under the law, but under the grace of Jesus Christ. Actually, John chapter 8 verse 56 says that Abraham rejoiced to see the days of Jesus. And we are living in the days of Jesus. So Abraham enjoyed the days that we are living in. We call it the days of the Lord Jesus, where he came bringing the kingdom of God upon his shoulder. So Abraham is one of the people that God picked in human history to showcase in him his will for all of us. And so the blessing of Abraham is relevant unto us in the New Testament, for which reason Jesus Christ actually came and died on the cross by crucifixion, just so that the blessing of Abraham will be able to come unto us. Now, I want us today to look at verse 10, and we want to look at the curse of the law. The Bible tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It looks like the curse of the law was what was preventing the blessing of Abraham from coming to us. So once the curse of the law is taken away, or we are redeemed from it, the Bible says that then the blessing of Abraham will be able to come unto us. We have noted many things about the blessing of Abraham, that God didn't punish him for his sins, and it's the same thing that we enjoy in the New Testament, that he was the friend of God, and it's the same thing that we enjoy in the kingdom system. He was comparable to nations. His married life was blessed. God was policing the spouse for him, you know, and God would do the same thing for us if we believe. He will police our wives and our husbands for us. You don't have to follow everybody everywhere, you know. And he was rich materially. God revealed himself to him. The word of the Lord came to him, and etc. Now, these are the blessings of Abraham, but we want to look at the curse of the law. What was preventing the blessing of Abraham, 12-fold blessings really, from coming? Verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." Please, I want you to note something, that the Bible is not talking about people who are under the law. He is talking about people who are of the works of the law. There is a difference between being under the law and then being under the works of the law, or being of the works of the law. For example, we all know that we are not under the law in Christ Jesus. The law referring to the Ten Commandments. All right, we are not under the law of Moses in the New Testament. But you can be under the works of the law. And that is how come believers can put themselves under a curse, can shift themselves under a curse. And once they shift themselves under the curse, the blessing of Abraham is rendered inoperative in our lives. Look at it. It says that for as many, and this letter was written to believers, the churches of Galatia. And Paul is telling them, not unbelievers who, Paul is telling them in the New Testament that as many of them as are of the works of the law are under the curse. It's a specific named curse, under the curse. And that is the curse of the law, if you read downwards. But I want you to understand that people who are of the works of the law are believers right now who are trying, you know, to rely upon their own works. Hallelujah. They are relying upon their own works to find credence before God. They are relying upon their own efforts. Their mind is self. Their mind is not Christ. As many as are focused on themselves, they are under the curse. But as many as are focused on Jesus and what he has done, they are under the blessing. As many as are focused on their efforts and what they can do, the Bible says that they are under the curse. But those who are focused on Jesus and what he has done already, they are the ones who are under the blessing. Hallelujah. So look at it. It says that for as many as are of the works of the law, underline works, that means that these people are trying to obey the law. They are trying to rely on their own works, their own efforts. Hallelujah. The curse comes through works, and the blessing comes through grace. Wow. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So you need to ask yourself, am I of the works of the law? Am I of the works of the law? And I've explained to you that if you are of the works of the law, it means that your focus is on yourself and on your works and on your effort. But if you are not under the works of the law, then in fact the opposite is that you are under grace. All right? Or you are of faith. I'll explain to you as we go along. You see, look at verse 9. So then those who are of faith, okay, and then look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law. So they are believers who are of faith, and they are believers who are of the works of the law. Of faith people are the people who believe in Jesus and what he has done. They didn't see Jesus, but they believe. They believe what he has done for them. They are of faith. The opposite is the people who are of the works of the law, and they are under a specific curse. Why are they under the curse? Look at the explanation in 10b. For it is written. The reason why they are under the curse is because it is written. Curse is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So there was a law. There was something that God has said. He has said that curse is everyone who does not continue in all things. In other words, when you are relying on yourself, you rely fully on yourself. When you are relying on the law, you rely fully on the law. You know, it means that you have to obey every bit of the law of Moses. But we know that nobody is able to obey everything under the law of Moses. Even the first one alone would defeat you. Remember the first one? And the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, we learned it during confirmation time. Thou shalt have no other God before me. That one alone can flaw every human being. There was this rich ruler who boasted in the fact that he had obeyed the law from the youth. And Jesus Christ told him that for him to have eternal life, he should go and sell everything he has and then give it to the poor and come and follow him. The Bible says that the person went away sorrowful because he had many riches. In other words, this person could not obey the first law, which said that you shall have no other God before me. Obviously, his riches was before God. He cherishes riches more than God. So when he told him to go and sell it, he was sorrowful and he could not do it. So whereas he was boasting that from my youth, I have obeyed the law, Jesus Christ just gave one, you see, a rebranding of that law and told him, go and sell what you have and come and follow me. And he could not have any other God before God. He had the money before God. Hallelujah. So we know that nobody can be able to continue in the law. Nobody can obey the law totally. Actually, the law was not given for it to be obeyed totally because it was an impossibility due to the weakness of the flesh of man. But look at it. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Hallelujah. You start the law. In fact, in the book of James, the Bible tells us that if you obey one of the laws and you disobey in another one, you have broken everything, including the one you obeyed. Because the same person who said, you shall not steal, the same person said, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods and house and things like that. So it's the same thing. Wow, that means that it is an impossibility for people to obey the law. That is the kind of curse that human beings were under, and that was preventing the blessing of Abraham from coming. So watch it. Somebody had to come, and the person had to obey the law so thoroughly that he can do away with the law because he has fulfilled it, and then allow for the blessing of Abraham to come upon as many as believe in what he has done for them. What did he do? Obeying the law on their behalf, living perfectly in the sight of God on their behalf. Hallelujah. So look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is the specific law that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from. So let us look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and then we will see what the curse of the law is, how the curse of the law looks like. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And then, is it verse 15 or so? Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. So, Deuteronomy 28 and then verse 15. It says what? It says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Overtake you means that the blessing is going to go ahead of you and is going to affect even your children after you. Because when something overtakes you, the thing is ahead of you, and it's your children who are your continuation. They are the people who are ahead of you, so to speak. And so they are also going to be under the curse. So the curse of the law is described in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, all the way to verse 68. If you read it, in fact, you get to a point where the thing will overwhelm you. Anybody who has tried to read this at one go, I'm telling you, you have that feeling. You see that the thing, like a demon, is trying to catch you. The curse, and reading it alone, the thing is trying to lay some hands to be on you. You know, because it's bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news. But look at the blessing. The blessing starts from verse 2 or so, but effectively verse 1 to verse 14 is the blessing. And then verse 15 to 68 are the curse of the law. Wow. But let us look at verse 1, Deuteronomy 28. And let's see what Jesus Christ did for us. Verse 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Look at the condition that has been attached to the blessings. Alright? The blessing from verse 1b to verse 14. But the condition is that if only you are going to obey the voice of the Lord your God diligently in all his commandments. Please emphasize, the emphasis is on all. All his commandments, which I am commanding you, Moses is commanding them. Then he says that if you only do every commandment, you don't break one, then these blessings will come. And then the preamble for the curse, verse 15. He says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, to observe carefully all his commandments, not some, but all his commandments, and statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So ladies and gentlemen, for Jesus Christ to redeem us from the curse of the law, we don't have time to read the curse of the law. I believe you know it. Let's look at Psalm 16. Curse shall thou be in the city, and curse shall thou be in the country. Even that one alone is like something is trying to waylay you. You see? 17. Curse shall be your curse shall be your basket. Hey! And your kneading bowl is enough. In fact, the first one is okay. The first one is like a summary. Curse shall thou be in the city, curse shall thou be in the village or in the field. That one is okay. I don't even need details. Just one. But you see, in order for Jesus to redeem us from the curse of the law, he has to do two things. The first one is that he has to diligently obey God's, all of God's commandments. In other words, he must perfectly be obedient to God. Because if he does that, and he does it on our behalf, then if we have faith in him, then the blessings can follow. Just because we believe that he obeyed God for us, then the blessings can follow us. Hallelujah. That was the first thing that Jesus did. The second thing that he did was for him to die by crucifixion on the cross, because it had again been written that cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree or who is crucified. Hallelujah. So the first thing Jesus Christ did for us was for him to obey God, live a perfect life in the sight of God, live by God's highest commandments perfectly on our behalf, so that by faith in him, we can have the blessings of Abraham, all the blessings that you can think about coming upon us. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and then verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. Let's read verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Two things here. The Bible talks about the knowledge of God and then the obedience of Christ. Two things that the weapons that we have protect us, or should protect us, in a way that we do not violate the knowledge of God and then the obedience of Christ. There are two things that the devil will always want to dilute in your sight. Because if he succeeds in minimizing it before you, then he can get you. Because that is all that the warfare we are engaged in is about. It is about deceiving us about the true knowledge of God. And then preventing us from seeing the obedience of Christ. Because if we are able to have the true knowledge of God, and we are focused on the obedience of Christ, the devil knows that he has lost the battle against us.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So he will fight to the nail to keep us from the true knowledge of God and from the obedience of Christ. Why is the obedience of Christ important? It is important because God conditioned blessings on obedience. And so Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he obeyed God. That is the obedience of Christ. So God wants our thoughts, our reasonings, our arguments to only focus on two things, the knowledge of God and then the obedience of Christ. He does not want our minds to shift away from the obedience of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, when that happens, then you put yourself under the curse of the law. Because the obedience of Christ takes away the curse of the law. He said that if you will obey diligently, then these blessings will come. And the curse will not come. Hallelujah. So the obedience of Christ is key. Focusing our attention on what Jesus did, on his obedience, is key for the blessing of Abraham or the features of the kingdom of God to be displayed in your life. Look at Romans chapter 5 and then verse 19. Romans chapter 5 and then verse 19. So ladies and gentlemen, we need to put our focus on the obedience of Jesus. Because that is how come we are able to enjoy heaven on earth. Heavenly kingdom coming practically in your life on this earth is the obedience of Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. The one man's disobedience that made all of us sinners is talking about the disobedience of the first Adam in the Garden of Eden. Now, the one man's obedience is talking about the obedience of the last Adam. Hallelujah. The obedience of Jesus Christ. He says that through his obedience, many are made righteous. Hallelujah. Of course, we know that by faith in his obedience, we are made righteous. Hallelujah. So God wants us to focus on the obedience of Jesus. The devil will try as much as he can to put your mind on what you have done. What have you done in your life? But you must shift attention to what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is the obedience of Christ that empowers your own obedience. If you obey without faith in the obedience of Christ, that obedience becomes what? Filthy rags before God. It is like somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus, but is morally very upright, never swears, doesn't think bad thoughts, you know, he doesn't do bad things and all that. Very disciplined, maybe very kind, philanthropist. He gives his goods, he's always donating and doing great things, but he doesn't believe in Jesus. He believes in himself. He believes in humanity. He believes in service to humanity, but he doesn't believe in Jesus. He doesn't believe in his obedience. That kind of obedience is not a kingdom-based one. It's a religious one that people can pride themselves in. But God looks at it and he says that this one is like that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And our righteousness should go above that of doing good works outwardly. You know, doing good works. This Christ and Pharisee kind of righteousness. Unto righteousness that takes place inside of you. Hallelujah. There is a righteousness that takes place inside of you. Look at Romans chapter 8 verse 4. Romans 8 verse 4. Now the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Please underline in us. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Maybe for context, let's read verse 3. For what the Lord could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, inside of us. Those of us who believe in Jesus' obedience, inside of us, all the righteous requirements of the law, our inside is pure. Our inside is righteous. Our spirits are created in true holiness, the Bible says. In righteousness and true holiness after the image of him who created him. We are pure inside. By focusing on the obedience of Jesus Christ, then your obedience becomes the correct type of obedience. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then look at verse 6. It says, I'm being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Which obedience is he talking about? Number one, it's talking about the obedience of Jesus Christ that you believe in. And number two, it's talking about your Jesus' obedience inspiring your obedience. Hallelujah. Wow. That one, the Bible says, because he diligently obeyed God, then, and he did it on our behalf, then he can release the blessings of Abraham to come upon the people who believe in him, who believe in what he did, that he did it on their behalf. Hallelujah. So you, one of the battles you need to be fighting all the time is the battle of faith, is the battle of discounting what the devil is saying about you and you believing what God says about you in Christ Jesus. God wants us to apply our faith to who? Jesus. That is why the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, he said that he preaches repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the message of the kingdom. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and then verse 24. All right, 21. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God. Repentance towards God is like having a change of mind, a new knowledge of God, a change of mind about God. That is what we read in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. That we should guide against the false knowledge of God and against anything that will prevent us from the obedience, from focusing on what Jesus Christ has done, obeying God for us. All right? So he says that testifying to Jews and Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, the gospel of the grace of God is the same as the kingdom of God. If you go down to verse 27, it is the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah. Wow. Knowledge of God. The obedience of Jesus. Because these are the things that make way. The obedience of Jesus makes way for the blessing of Abraham that we have elaborated upon for a long time to come and rest upon us practically. Because as many as are of the works of the law, those who are focusing on themselves and what they have done or what they can do, those are under the curse. But those who are focusing on Jesus and what he has already done, they are of faith. And they are the people who receive the blessing of Abraham, just like the father of faith received, Abraham received. Hallelujah. So, number one thing we need to always fight against is the devil trying to focus you on yourself. Our focus must always be upon Jesus and what he has done for us. Why? Because if we shift from that, we put ourselves under the curse. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and then verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ. Please, I want you to understand that the book of Galatians was written to believers. They had heard the gospel of grace, right? Paul preached it unto them and they knew it. Paul had even defied Peter before them because Peter was trying to dilute the gospel of grace before the churches of Galatia. And Paul withstood him to the face that you are not doing the right thing. You are hindering the truth of the gospel. So a time comes that they sway from the gospel of grace, the gospel of the kingdom, the whole counsel of God. And now they are gravitating, going back to the law. And Paul says, how come? How can you believe in the spirit? How can you walk in the spirit now? You are walking according to the flesh. Hallelujah. And so he tells them in verse 4, Galatians 5, 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. You are falling from grace. Talking to believers, you have become severed and estranged from Jesus. Why? Because they do not focus on Jesus and what he has done. That is not the inspiration of their lives. That is not the focus of their lives. Their focus is something else. These are believers who cannot really enjoy practically the features of the kingdom of God. as exemplified in Abraham. Hallelujah. I told you that Abraham was called out of religion, heir of the Chaldees, the Chaldeans are the Babylonians, and then he was asked to go to a promised land, which he didn't know about. We now know about it, that it is the kingdom arrangement. Hallelujah. A time came that Abraham wanted to see the land. Says, I want to see the days of Jesus. Scripture says that he saw it, and he was glad that he had gotten there. He had enjoyed Jesus before he actually came physically, carrying the kingdom and dying for us to enjoy the kingdom arrangement. So he calls him out of air of the Chaldees. He calls him from religion, and he's taking him, says that I have made you a father of many nations. I've made you a president. I've made you a ruler. So our presidents are called fathers of the nation. They are kings. Hallelujah. So Abraham enjoyed the kingdom arrangement of Jesus Christ in advance to demonstrate to us that those of us in Christ Jesus right now, we can look back at what we call the blessing of Abraham, and Jesus Christ qualifies us by his obedience to enjoy the same thing. Maybe if I taught you to the end about the blessing of Abraham, you will see how Jesus Christ, the role Jesus Christ played in the Abrahamic covenant. This covenant that in Genesis chapter 15 that Abraham cut with God, or God cut with Abraham. The Bible says that God told him to bring five animals, signifying that the covenant was going to be a covenant of grace. Five being the number of grace. This is all in Genesis chapter 15. So he brought all those animals, he cut them into two, and then divided them into two, making a way in the middle. Alright? And in the covenant of those days, the two covenanting parties, they stand at both sides, and then they pass through the middle passageway between the animals who have been cut into two. You know, talking about Jesus' death, he was crucified. He was split into two, right in the middle, making a way by the cross, by the blood of his cross. The Bible says he has made a new and living way that we can walk on to where God is, the other party is. So these two parties, they will enter the passageway, and then they will come meet each other, swear to each other, and then they will move to the opposite direction. So the one on the left goes to stand on the right at the left, saying that whatever belongs to the right, the original right person is for me also. The one that I also have, the original left person, is also for the person who moved to the right. And you know what? During the time when evening had come, that evening is talking about the time that Jesus Christ was going to cut the proper covenant between God and man. That evening, the Bible says that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Abraham, and a horror of great darkness to fall upon him. The only consciousness Abraham had in the deep sleep was that his ears were open to hear the voice of God, to hear the kingdom word. He had to hear something, hallelujah, to operationalize the kind of thing that was going on. But he was immobilized. In other words, his own effort was suspended. His own self-righteousness, self-effort was suspended. He was put in a deep sleep. And do you know who appeared? A burning torch, referring to Jesus as the light. He appeared at the other side, and then he kept the covenant with God on behalf of Abraham. Still Abraham was asleep. Hallelujah. Until everything was over and Abraham got up. That is how come Abraham enjoyed the days of Jesus Christ and enjoyed the kingdom system that Jesus Christ was to bring. That is why Jesus Christ said in the book of Luke 22 or so that this is the new covenant in my blood. The thing was cut between Jesus on behalf of mankind and God. It was initially cut between Jesus on behalf of Abraham, who was representing you and I, and God. And Jesus this time took on flesh. No more five animals, symbolizing that it's going to be a covenant based purely on grace and not on works. So you should sleep, you should rest for the thing to be operationalized. Only hear the kingdom word. Only hear the word of Jesus, what he has done, and focus on it. And it becomes operationalized in your life, because then all your obedience is inspired by the obedience of Jesus, what he did. Hallelujah. Are we not blessed by Jesus? Wow. He has done so much for us, so that we are delivered from the curse of the law. Curse shall thou be in the city, curse shall thou be in the field. No, it is not your portion. Some believers believe, and I used to believe like that. I used to believe that things are hard for me before I can get blessed. No. I believe differently. That because of what Jesus did, things are cheap for me. You see, there is a mismatch between the efforts I put in and then the blessing that comes my way. It doesn't match. My effort is so small, and the blessing that comes is big. Hallelujah. But when I was under the works of the law, I felt I had to do so much for a small blessing to come. That's a curse. Wow. Bible says that if you obey diligently, all these blessings will come. Jesus obeyed. The obedience of Christ qualified us for the kingdom arrangement. So now, our disposition should be focusing on Jesus, confessing what Jesus Christ has done, focusing on what Jesus Christ has done. The more you focus on it, the more you tone down on what you can do or what you have done. Hallelujah. That's spiritual growth. In fact, the more you grow, the more you see that you are weak and that he is strong. Hallelujah. It is young people who are not grown who think that they are capable, they are able and all that. But the more you mature in Christ, it's not as if you become strong. The more you mature, you become weaker. And you know what happens? He becomes stronger. Hallelujah. So that all the glory goes to him. So that all our focus is on him. Hallelujah. We need to pray that, Lord God, open my eyes. All the devils are fighting against the obedience of Christ. They are trying to make us doubt the obedience of Christ. Not focus on the obedience of Christ, but focus on our own obedience without Christ. See that when you do that, you fall from grace. The covenant of grace is no more working in your life. It's all wet. It's all wet. You feel like you have to pray. And depending on the hours you pray, then the blessing will come. It's not like that. Hallelujah. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Energy Estate, Takoradi. Can God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on high.